The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus told this parable to those among the Pharisees who loved money. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away to the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." The man who had been rich said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, they should listen to them." He said, "Oh, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord. I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel reading is a well-known one. The rich man in his castle and the poor man at his gate, to give it a more traditional title, Dives and Lazarus, whatever you want to call it. But in short, it's really about what we do with what we've got. So that's the main question to pose this morning. What are we doing with what we've got, what we have? And that's a question personally to each of us, regardless actually of whether or not we're Christian people, but also it's a question to the community of faith and actually to the community in general. You know, what are we doing with our resources? What about our riches? And it's not just a question of money, although one important aspect of it is financial. Because actually, what we do with our money says a lot about who we are, where we are putting our time and our energies. Now, before anyone kicks off and says, "Oh, here we go, another sermon about money and parish giving and all the rest of it," it isn't primarily about that, but I do think we have a responsibility as Christians in particular to think about our stewardship of the good things that we've been given and our relationship with money, because that is actually a spiritual issue. It's an issue of discipleship for all of us, the rich and the not so rich, the poor and the not so poor. I think part of the point here from Jesus in the gospel story is that our choices matter. The choices that we make do matter. And if we're in a position of relative wealth and able to make choices with our money. And of course, many of us are not in that position and struggle even with the basic necessities of life. Then those choices ought to reflect, first of all, our gratitude to God. Our gratitude to God, who is the source of everything, including life itself. And if we feel in the context of our lives that God is generous towards us, then we're more likely to be generous in our turn and to want to share our good fortune with people, our wealth in the widest sense of that word. And so what will happen, I think, is that we'll come to see that wealth as gift from God rather than entitlement, you know, something we've earned, something we deserve, that we're entitled to. But I think the story is also about our sense of compassion and putting that faith into action. What we do with our money is one way we can actually put our faith into action. But that sense of compassion, literally suffering with and suffering alongside others. Now, in the story today, there were undoubtedly, I'm sure, good and godly Pharisees, but the ones that Jesus is addressing here are the ones who were worrying too much about worldly wealth, those who loved money. Indeed, much like any other group in society, any other group of people, there'll be those people in those particular groups. I guess what he's trying to say, though, is the religious teachers had a special responsibility to think about how they were using their lives. Jesus seems to say, be careful. Don't become attached to possessions or wealth, because you really can't take those things with you. And there might come a point where in the future you face God's judgment over what you did with all that stuff, what you had. Back to the original question at the beginning, what are we doing with what we've got? Sometimes, actually, it's just a fact that Jesus' teaching on things like this is quite uncomfortable. He often uses illustrations that make us feel uncomfortable, and it's not always, for example, in this case, because we're rich, but it's because Jesus so often, time and time again, looked at things from a different perspective. And whenever somebody looks at something from a different angle, it really makes us think, or at least it should do, and that in turn can make us feel uncomfortable. But essentially, perhaps what Jesus is saying, although I don't want to read too much into the, you know, words or the circumstances beyond the actual text, is what did you do with your resources to make a fairer world? And did it bear fruit? What kind of fruit did it bear in acts of compassion, for example? Did your faith and your trust in and your love for God result in you doing things differently, looking at things differently, going about issues differently, seeing people differently? These are big questions, but if our faith hasn't changed our perspectives on people and situations, then we'd have to ask ourselves gently, not only is it worth it, but also which Bible are we looking at? What gospel are we referring to? All the main religious teachings, all the traditions, not just Christian, but all the mainstream religions, talk about recognize the reality that being generous benefits us, not just the people who benefit from our generosity. It is true of the time that we give, for example, the energy that we expend for others, the difference that we make in their lives. It isn't only that it makes a difference to them, hopefully a positive one, but also our lives are enriched in the sharing. As we look out on God's world with compassionate eyes and hearts, as we meet people in their suffering and in their need and seek to answer their needs, it should change us. Now, I've been around quite a while now, and many of you have been around, respectfully, even longer than me. But I think, generally speaking, in the context of life, I can identify the better times in life as the times when I've had my horizons broadened, widened, when I've looked out, offered help, supported, encouraged others in various different ways. Focusing on others rather than focusing on myself. It isn't invariably true, but it's almost always true. Because we are social creatures, we need each other for our sense of well-being, our sense of community, our sense of belonging. Not that being surrounded by people is necessarily always a good thing. Being at the heart of everything, you know, that business, the fear of missing out, is it FOMO, they call it these days. I prefer JOMO, which is the joy of missing out, but never mind. But we can easily still feel lost in that big group of people and feel quite inconsequential. We need a few key people around us, a few key friendships in order to help to get us through life successfully. And it's interesting, isn't it? There's a massive epidemic at the moment of loneliness, ironically, in an age where it's never been easier to be in touch with people. What does that say about the quality of our communication and our relationships? But nevertheless, we are social creatures. It's painful to feel disconnected from the world around us. That's not rocket science in any sense, really. That walk by the river, that pint in the pub, that conversation that didn't involve the phone being whipped out every 30 seconds, these are the things that leave us feeling better through the day or week and help us to feel less lonely. And actually, to relieve the loneliness of others is, in the right circumstances, an act of generosity.